thinking straight? Where social conservatives go wrong on sexuality. https://www.commonwealthmagazine.org/thinking-straight. John Curvino, July 21, 2014, 2:44 p.m. A little queer theory can be a dangerous thing. At least that's what one might conclude after observing social conservatives eagerly citing and in the process, badly distorting such theory to defend traditional ideas about sexuality. A recent and striking example is Michael Hannon's essay against heterosexuality in First Things this past March. There Hannon argues that religious conservatives should embrace queer theorists' view that sexual orientation is a social construction, rather than a natural and inevitable feature of persons. Furthermore, they should stop categorizing anyone as gay, because doing so organizes that person's sexual identity around a particular temptation to sin, leading him to believe that he needs that sin in order to be fulfilled. Finally, and most important, they should stop categorizing anyone as heterosexual, because doing so lets people off the hook as normal, thus blinding them to their own sin. The general idea is that shedding these labels will enable people better to focus on the proper Christian grounding for sex and marriage. Hannon, who is a candidate for religious life with the Norbertine Order, is hardly the first Catholic to invoke queer theory in support of conservative causes. Back in the late 1990s, when the essentialist-constructionist debate was still fresh, my old sparring partner Maggie Gallagher made a similar point at a Georgetown University conference on homosexuality and American public life. What's interesting about Hannon's version is how far he goes in revealing what's troubling social conservatives today, what they fear, what they really want, and why they're unlikely to get it. To understand his argument, one must reach back about two decades to an esoteric academic debate between essentialists, who argued that sexual orientation is a natural, intrinsic, and transhistorical feature of persons, and social constructionists, who counter that sexual orientation is a cultural invention, and a relatively recent one at that. The debate was confusing, especially because the disputants often seemed to be talking past each other. Moreover, as the historian John Boswell noted, virtually no one actually claimed to be an essentialist. That label was simply used by constructionists to critique others' views. In any case, few scholars today would deny the constructionist's central claim. The way modern Westerners organize sexual identity, the way we categorize ourselves and others, sky, straight and bisexual, is not universal. Those categories did not gain social salience until the late 19th century. This claim is easily misunderstood. To say that these categories lacked social salience prior to the 19th century is not to say that there weren't people who engaged in, and predominantly favored, romantic relationships with persons of the same sex. Of course they were. Nor is it to say that they and others didn't recognize that some people had such preferences. Of course they did. Aristophanes' myth in Plato's Symposium is often cited as evidence. Nor is it to deny that their preference for the same sex might be strongly genetically influenced. One of the reasons the essentialist-constructionist debate proved so confusing is that it was often conflated with the nature-nurture debate that was raging simultaneously. Are people born gay, or straight, or bisexual, or are they made so through family or social influences? Those debates actually address distinct questions. Essentialist-constructionist is about identity categories, whereas nature-nurture is about the etiology of sexual desire, but it's easy to oversimplify them in such a way that makes them look more connected than they are. An analogy may help, this one from the philosopher and legal theorist Edward Stein. Some people strongly prefer to sleep on their backs, others on their stomachs. Perhaps these preferences are genetically based, perhaps not.